This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
About it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, Michael, it is Buy or Sell Stock Watch edition here on this Monday afternoon. And we are looking at the teams that we talk about here on the show on a regular basis. And you tell me, we'll discuss whether or not we're buying stock in these teams. We'll start with Friday. Friday's game. See you in Houston. You buying stock or are you selling that thing right now, Michael?
I already sold it.
Yeah, I'm selling it big time.
I sold it before the game.
I think it's going to be a rough season for the Buffs now. Not sure what's going to happen on Saturday, but it's going to be a rough go the rest of the way. Wyoming. Defensively, looked really good. They were out on the field pretty much the whole game. But their offense is so... It was really bad. And again, it's Utah. I'm buying some Wyoming stock, Mike. I'm still buying some Wyoming stock. I was impressed somewhat by the Cowboys' performance.
I would like to see more. So I'm not going to buy anything just yet.
You can't. You try to do this every week. The thing is, buy or sell. It's not, let me think about how they do in 4 weeks, and then I'll answer the question.
I'm not irresponsible with my money. I need to look at them more to see if I want to purchase.
Mm-mm.
Can I buy, like, $5?
You got to answer, just buy yourself, so you're buying. So you're buy yourself.
A very small portion of Wyoming.
Okay, so you're buying Wyoming. I'm in on this. I'm buying Wyoming as well. Now, I am curious to see what happens with John Michael Gillenborg, but I like that defense. I think that could win them a couple games this year, get them into a bowl game. How about the UNC Bears?
I think I'm going to make money off that.
It's the most excited I've ever seen you about the UNC Bears.
Oh, yeah.
You're a pretty negative guy, pretty much around every team that's not your team, and you're kind of positive. What's changed? Ed Lamb, or you actually think this is, like, they're legit?
I think it's a little bit of both. I haven't had a lot of conversations with Ed Lamb, but he's just a positive guy, and normally positive people irritate me, but he doesn't. I like him as a person. Also, this team just does seem legit.
Air Force. Buy or sell.
I'm sorry to our men and women in uniform, but Air Force is not going to be great.
I don't know. Their offense was great. To lose that way. They were 4.5-point favorites to Utah State. They just could not stop. Make a stop. I mean, Utah State's quarterback, though, Bryson Barnes. If we were talking Utah State, I'd be buying that stock. Bryson Barnes was ridiculous. He ran for 44 yards and had 3 rushing touchdowns. He threw for almost 300 yards and had 2 passing touchdowns. He was really good. I don't know. That's tough for me because Air Force... It seemed like they were in that game at halftime. It was a close game. It was 14-10 at the half, and then they gave up 21 points in the third and another 14 in the fourth, but their offense was kind of keeping up for a bit. But you lose 49-30. it's hard to buy stock into that team. So I'll probably sell it a minimal amount, I guess. And for the Broncos, Michael, buy or sell?
I know. I own 90% of the stock.
I know. I'm a little more down on them than I was this time last year or last week. Even though I think I might have, did I buy? I don't know if I bought that stock. I don't remember. You didn't write it down. But I was a little concerned after the close game against Tennessee. Somewhat close game. I'm going to sell it today.
And I will buy your shares.
Okay. Of course you will. I mean, the Chargers game, Michael, that is going to be quite the test for Denver. And you start, if you start the season 1-2, again, the Bengals game looks a little different now with Joe Burrow's situation. He'll be out for a while. All right, how about CSU? Did their stock change at all? I think it did, actually, because you're in a quarterback competition during your bye week. So I'm selling, even after. I'm still in sell mode. I'm more in sell mode than I was last week.
I sold after the first quarter of their game against the Bears. I mean, I didn't have a lot of confidence with them anyway. Well, I had some confidence with them against the Huskies. But then watching them play against the Bears in the first quarter, that didn't sit well with me.
Yeah, well.
Little did we know I'd have so much confidence in UNC. So maybe I sold it too soon, but I think it was a good sell.
Boy, that UNC game, though, that was quite the football game, Michael. I mean, the Bears just, it never felt, I mean, again, offensively, they're not great, but I thought Eric Gibson Jr. played pretty darn good, considering he's the backup quarterback. They lost in overtime 24-17 to a ranked South Dakota team in the FCS side of things. Eric Gibson Jr. had 336 yards and a touchdown. I mean, dude, Hank Gibbs was running the ball a little bit. He's tight end, but they're moving him all over the field, and I loved it. He had 28 yards, and getting him just involved is a big thing. But that touchdown pass, Charles Garrison, 24-yarder, he had 7 receptions for 112 yards and a touchdown. Guy's a good player. Carver Cheeks, almost 100 yards for him, 3 receptions, but 95 yards. I mean, you go up, that game was, the Bears were up 6-3 at one point in this game. And then they were down 10-6 at the half, no score in the third. You thought South Dakota, they get that touchdown, and you thought maybe that's going to be it. They're going to pull away. The Bears just kept fighting. Came close to maybe even taking that lead, but ended up kicking a short field goal to force overtime. As for South Dakota, we talked about their stud running back being out for the season. Well, we also knew they had other good running backs, and boy, was that true. L.J. Phillips Jr., he'd carried the ball 35 times for 301 yards, Michael. 301 yards and 2 touchdowns. He averaged 8.6 yards a carry. That is, I mean, it was a one-man show for South Dakota. But I'm pretty optimistic going forward about this Bears team.
Like, oh, I'm optimistic.
How optimistic are you? Like, are you talking win the Big Sky Conference, go to the playoffs?
No.
Okay.
I mean look at their schedule right now. And this is just right now.
They should
win. They just played number 12,
yep.
North Dakota.
Yep.
They
South
have
Dakota.
Number 8, Idaho. That's on the 11th. They have number 21, Sac State, on the 18th of next month. And then they have number 9, UC Davis, on the 25th. That's 3 weeks in a row where your opponents are ranked. Then you have 4 weeks in a row because they have that guaranteed victory over Montana State, which I called last week. And then after that, you have number 18, Northern Arizona. That's 5 weeks in a, this is
all
brutal.
Rigged. Yes, it is, and that's the tough part. You got a team trying to turn this thing around. We always talk about the resources, but then every year, because the Big Sky, dude, a lot of those teams are at the top. Big Sky's they call that the SEC of the FCS, and there's a reason for that.
And there's a reason why UNC is always at the bottom. Not a lot of resources, and they're playing in the best conference. I think they win the next two games. You have Houston Christian at home, Huskies. And then you have Idaho State at home. No, I'm sorry, they're at Houston Christian and at home against Idaho State. I think those are two wins.
And that would be phenomenal for the Bears.
That would be the best record they have had in September.
Oh.
I think since I've worked here.
To win three games early in the season would be huge. And they were so close to being 3-0. Yeah, Aaron texted in. Bears missed a few red zone opportunities there, and they didn't walk away with any points, and that hurt. That's been the knock on, I guess, if we're going to be critical of a team trying to turn this thing around. It's hard to be critical. I don't know why. But their offense just, it doesn't pop all. I mean, they are capable of coming up with a couple of big drives, but consistently, they don't have that venom. So would that have changed if Peter Castelli was still the quarterback? It's hard to knock what Eric Gibson Jr. is doing. He's been very good.
I think they have 6 wins.
Whoa.
I'm looking at their schedule.
That would tie their record.
End it pretty easy. They have Eastern Washington, Portland State.
Yeah.
They have that guaranteed victory on November 1st against Montana State.
Mm-hmm. You've already guaranteed that.
So really what
that.
You have to worry about is the 3 ranked teams before your victory over Montana State, which I guaranteed, and then Northern Arizona after that.
6 wins would be epic.
Yeah, especially since were they voted last again in the Big Sky?
I think so. Yeah, I believe so.
I think they're ranked last by default.
Yeah, I think, well, and rightfully so. I mean, since they joined the the Division I FCS ranks, they've had 2 seasons where it was like they were all right. They were average. 6 wins. That was back to back too. Kind of felt like Ernest Collins Jr., if you remember him, was going to start to get something out of this team.
And then didn't. Well, if you go from 1 win with an upset victory to 6 wins with 2 losses being very close over teams losses to teams where you should have been blown out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh my.
By October 25th, are we at least talking about UNC being close in the conversation of winning the Big Sky Conference or not?
Well, by October 25th, if my predictions come true, they will be three losses after going 3-2, so they'll be 3-5 at that time.
Okay, so now probably
but
not.
That's 3 ranked teams.
Yep.
And 5 ranked team opponents in a row.
Yeah. Well, the fact that we're sitting here,
losses.
The fact that we're kind of sitting here today, even breathing this conversation into existence, is kind of crazy. It's a very positive thing for the Bears football program.
I mean, what would we normally be talking about when it's UNC? Like, normally it would be, hey, listen to Football 52.
Or it'd be, hey, they'll get one. Ah, man, they're going to get one, aren't they, at some point? That's kind of what it would. That's what it was last year. It's what it was the year before. But this is a team, if you remember from last year, first portion of the season, they weren't bad. The schedule or the scores would tell you otherwise, but if you actually watch those games, which we did, Incarnate Word, they lose 28-7, but that was actually a much better game. Colorado State, 38-17, that was a 10-point game in the third quarter. Abilene Christian, that was the 50-plus yard field goal that they kicked to end the game. Stephen F. Austin was 48-7. I believe that was the game that Hank Gibbs went out. And then it kind of just started to go downhill from there. But I would say the first 4 or 5 games, they were showing signs of life.
To me, this is not, even though they, even though they've lost the last two games, I don't, this feels like it's going uphill.
Yeah. It does feel like things are turning around for the UNC Bears.
Yeah, it's like you're in a fight and some guy's supposed to beat the crap out of you, and yet you're taking the punches and you're hitting him back. And
they were 30-plus dogs to CSU, 20-plus dogs to South Dakota, and they lose by...
Basically last play.
Last play.
And one of them, you got screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never let that down.
How about this story, Michael? The Baltimore Ravens were, according to Adam Schefter, were planning to draft Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round with the number 141st pick. But before the Ravens could turn in the card, Shedeur Sanders let it be known to Baltimore that he didn't want to be on a roster with Lamar Jackson, where he wouldn't have a chance to play anytime soon, league sources said. I don't have an issue with that.
I mean, it's not like you're going to play either.
Not going to play if he's behind. Like, the only way that would happen is if Lamar Jackson goes down, which, again, running quarterbacks, there's a chance, right?
And even like, and even though I hate Baltimore with an absolute passion, I'm not rooting for injuries. I'm rooting for them to just suck.
Shedeur was asked about it and said, "My response is I'm focused on the now. I don't really talk about anything in the past and whatever happened in the past. It is what it is. I'm more focused on now. I'm more focused on how I can get better going forward. I'm more focused on how this game that we just gone and had and figuring out how to move forward from now." All I retweeted was just, so no then. So no, you didn't want to go to the Ravens. Listen, are players allowed to advocate about where they would like to go in the NFL if they are rookies? Are they? John Elway did it. I'm not comparing the two. Just saying Eli Manning did it, not comparing the two. Players have done this before. John Elway thought, because it was Baltimore, right? Interesting. Elway's camp and his family looked at that and said, your career's not going to be as good if you go there. How many times do we talk about quarterback being in a bad situation? Daniel Jones for the Giants. Bad. Might actually turn out to be a pretty good quarterback. Looks like he is right now. But if he would have stayed, where was he? Minnesota last year? Let's say he didn't beat out Anthony Richardson for the starting job. Daniel Jones just kind of floats as a backup quarterback for the rest of his career, and somebody knew that there was football left in this guy, real winning football. And for 2 weeks, it looks like this is the guy that was advertised coming out of the draft. So should quarterbacks be able to—I mean, this is your career. If you go somewhere that you don't think is going to be good for your career, then that's it. You only have one life, man. You get 5 years down the road and you're just a backup quarterback and no one's taking a chance on a backup quarterback that they've never really seen other than maybe a few preseason snaps.
I think I would rather be a backup quarterback in a winning franchise than a starting quarterback in a losing franchise, because eventually you're going to get blamed for it. I mean, these aren't the days where it's like, oh, you keep losing every year? You wouldn't
be the starting quarterback for long if that was the case.
Like, this isn't back in the days where, you know, Peyton and Eli's father never made it to the playoffs. Even though I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, never made it to the playoffs.
That's just, it's just very interesting.
This day and age, he'd be pulled.
Yeah. I mean, right now you could argue, well, he's the third string on a bad team. So would it be better to be the backup on a good team or the third string on, and I don't know where he would have been listed, but for Baltimore, you know, what their quarterback room, obviously Lamar Jackson, and they have Cooper Rush as the backup quarterback. So maybe Shador would have been the backup. But right now, he's the third string quarterback on a really bad football team and a bad program. Like, they're just bad overall.
Just terrible franchise. Just,
yeah,
just horrible. Like, why wouldn't you want to go to Baltimore? Baltimore is a proven winner.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland was a winner, and then they got rid of the winner. Like, what a loser move.
That's
to
a
do.
Bad organization.
What a, like, why? I don't understand Shador. This is the Sanders ego. It's the Sanders ego, I think.
Because he thought he had a realistic chance to compete in Cleveland, though. I don't hate him for that. I don't think
if you're just
waiting for Lamar to get hurt, that would be the only reason. And it could happen, but that's a big chance to take. I mean, if you get your pick, and if what he said actually worked, and Baltimore's like, okay, fine, we won't draft you, then you found a way to get onto a team. Because, dude, there's still a realistic possibility that Shador Sanders could be the starting quarterback by the end of the year for Cleveland Browns.
But there's also, like, you're learning under Lamar Jackson, who's a very talented quarterback. So you learn from him, and maybe you're not going to start there. But at some point when your contract is up, maybe someone wants you.
Because you probably would see some time. I mean, Lamar, those kind of quarterbacks that run around a lot might roll an ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Might sit out a quarter, might sit out a few plays, and then you come in and you keep a team above water for a possession or two while Lamar's getting looked at.
I mean,
if, heaven forbid, something really bad happens, then maybe. But he still has a better chance today to start for Cleveland. So if it's brought to him, hey, Baltimore's thinking of drafting you, what do you think? And Shador's like, I don't want to go be a backup to Lamar. I'd rather go somewhere else where I have a realistic chance. I don't have a problem with that. And I don't think it's that egotistical on that side of it.
If I wasn't such a diehard quarterback, I would jump at the chance to be a backup for such a good quarterback. Absolutely. Mm. I'm soaking in everything.
Yeah, but Lamar's not. You can't teach what Lamar does. Like, there's not, like.
But he's still a smart quarterback.
He's
and yes,
the
Shador,
most electrifying
Shador
man in all of sports
Lamar.
Entertainment. No.
But you can still learn. You can still learn under someone. Now you've gone to the Cleveland Browns, and they make so many mistakes, and they don't learn anything. Like, I think he's actually getting dumber.
It's a bad organization. And, you know, I don't see them. I mean,
I think the Cavaliers play better football.
They got the Packers coming up. The Ravens just absolutely destroyed them in that second half. Dylan Gabriel got time. He came in for Flacco, who was pretty bad. Gabriel was 3 of 3 for 19 yards. He did throw a touchdown late in the game. So, but that's the thing. Like, you're not even coming in once they, because we all kind of thought at some point they will bench Joe Flacco and go with one of the rookies to see what they have, because they're going nowhere fast. So you might as well see what you have. So I'll be curious to see if there's that talk going on.
What they have is a disaster. They just have another few years of mediocrity. Just mediocrity. They need to clear house again.
But I think I just differ with you on this. Shador Sanders wanted to play. He didn't want to go be a backup to arguably the best quarterback playing football right now.
And I totally understand, and I don't disagree with you. I just think he made the wrong choice.
I don't think so.
If someone else was there, if a better organization was there, an organization that knows how to win, then yes.
But if he goes to Baltimore, and let's assume Lamar never gets hurt, then you're just there for 2 years, 3 years, and you're just hanging out as a backup quarterback, and you're not going to put anything really significant out there
for
a team
Love.
To take a chance on you.
Jordan Love, how many years was he sitting on the bench?
But wasn't,
now it's his turn.
Wasn't Rodgers kind of toward the end? You know, Lamar's in the prime of his career. He's not going anywhere. He just signed a monster contract.
But Jordan Love was still able to learn. He was still on the bench, still clipboard.
Yeah, but if Lamar was 6 years older, then I'd be like, dude, you're an idiot. Go there, because Lamar's only got a couple years left. But I would imagine, how old is Lamar Jackson? He's 28 years old. Now, the style of play might not he might not be one of those dudes that plays, because now we're starting to see quarterbacks playing into their late 30s.
Maybe not him.
He could be a guy that plays till he's 36, maybe. So that's still 8 years.
He's going to have to learn to be in the pocket a lot more.
I mean, yeah, we can get into that. I don't know. It was just an interesting story. 30 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
All right, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We blew the clock, Mike. I was so confused on which segment we were in. Thanks a lot for that. Shout out from On the Rocks Liquor. Beer of the week is the Headless Horseman from Crabtree Brewing. It's a mix of Chunkin' Pumpkin and their Oatmeal Stout. It's a seasonal favorite that sells out really fast. I've had the Chunkin' Pumpkin before. Awesome. Very good. Makes me want one right now. This goes fast. So get your 4-pack today at On the Rocks Liquor. Seasonal stuff doesn't last very long. They only make a certain amount, and they try to get through October, but I've seen a lot of these where they just fly. So make sure you stop by On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. Okay, here it is, Mike. Sean Payton said, quote, "We had a certain field goal block in the event of a game-winning field goal. That's on me in that situation. It's not on Darren Rizzi. It's not on Dondre Tillman. The alignment was wrong, and the penalty call was correct." So Sean Payton and his special teams coordinator are calling a block-type kick, Darren Rizzi. I mean, he said it's not on Darren Rizzi, but that was Sean, his decision. Guys, let's try to block this. It's a 60-yarder. You take your chances, and if he kicks it and makes it, shake his hand. Well done. You guys deserved it. Don't try to block it. 60 yards. The guy's never made a 50-yarder. That's frustrating, Mike. That's frustrating.
Even the greatest kicker in the NFL who has the best 60-plus yard percentage, who has made the most 60-plus yard field goals, you don't try that. You just don't try that. Jump up.
Just jump straight up. Just like in basketball. Go straight
up. Put
your
hands in the air like you just don't care.
Don't try to touch anybody. That one's a frustrating loss, Mike. That one's tough to take. And then when you hear that, it's like, dude, you called that? That wasn't a player that just didn't know the rules? You actually called that and said, let's get aggressive and try to block this thing? Ugh.
Chargers fans are going to feel the same way that we feel today, next Monday, when we beat the Chargers.
Picks are on Friday, Mike. Everybody knows that.
I'm just saying. Broncos are going to win.
We'll see how the Chargers look tonight. Chargers playing the Raiders. That's the second of the doubleheader that we have featured. Thanks to Westwood One, we've got both those games on KFKA tonight.
I've had conversations with two or three people who want to see the Raiders and the Chargers tie.
Yeah, for the Broncos, that would be good.
I've never known people to hate the Chargers as much as the Raiders.
Even more frustrating is you have a Chiefs team that is 0-2, and you had a chance to get the jump on them. Somebody tonight, assuming they don't tie, somebody tonight is going to be 2-0 in this division. And will be leading. It will either be the Raiders or the Chargers leading the AFC West.
Unless there's a tie.
That's what I said.
I just wanted to reiterate it.
It's not going
to
be
a tie. You were about to cough, and I wanted everybody to know.
Okay, Smitty just brings us up. Are we ready to say this? Can we all agree the Broncos agree the Broncos are necessarily or aren't? I think you're meaning aren't, Smitty. Aren't necessarily the greatest coach team under Sean Payton. He's had some weird stuff, Mike. He's had a couple of weird instances that you don't really expect from a potential Hall of Fame type guy. Are you willing to say that yet?
Yeah, this was a weird call at the end of the game.
Yeah, and it's on him. I thought it was weird how he was using the timeouts, too, toward the end.
I figured that he thought that they would make the field goal. I was thinking that he wasn't confident in the defense.
He's putting on a block. Yeah. And the defense was bad yesterday. Got this one, too. Broncos cornerback Patrick Surtain set to get treatment at the team's facility Monday for his left ankle injury that he suffered on Sunday's loss. Jeff Legwald reports, asked after Sunday's game about the injury, he said, "Nothing crazy. I sort of twisted a little bit. I planted wrong. Just one of those things I need to monitor. Nothing crazy."
Ooh.
Yeah. So good news there.
I was sweating during that game.
Me too.
When he went down, I'm like, ooh.
They really need to get some guy. I want to see Dre Greenlaw on the field at some point. But if Surtain goes down too, oh boy.
The future's uncertain.
Okay. 41 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest. Now let's do it. The latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, Ram fans. This is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Welcome back in to The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. 405 texting and all this football talk. Most important question of the month, can the Rockies get one more win in the last 12 games?
Who?
The Rockies.
The Mountain?
The Colorado Rockies, like the baseball. The baseball team.
Yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah, they are tied with the White Sox for the worst record of all time in modern day baseball. How many games do they have left? Is it 12 games? Can they get one more win? They're off today.
So they won't lose.
They won't lose, but you got 6. Okay, 12. Yeah, you're right. Also, 405 says, on Friday, I picked Eric Gibson Jr. to be the best, so I think I won bragging rights for a day. I don't know who the rest of the guys picked. I took Carver Cheeks. He had almost 100 yards receiving, so I didn't lose, I don't think. But, yeah, Gibson was throwing him that football, and he was throwing it to other guys, too, so he beat me. You beat me on that one. You got me. But I don't think I'm wearing the crown of shame for Friday for the Rocky Mountain College kickoff show that airs on 2 o'clock live with me and Derbs, Tanner, and Danson. It's a fun show. It's a really good show. Great way to set the tone. Tomorrow we'll move on, Mike. We got to move on. It was a bad weekend, but we got to move on and we're going to watch the Chargers game tonight and study. Do your homework, Mike, because we got to prep for this game. And prepare for what's next for the Broncos, because I really don't want this team to start 1-2, but I'm worried that they might. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think I can watch it, but I can listen to it tonight on 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Westwood One's coverage. We're carrying both games.
Good job. Good job.
I just wanted to make sure people knew.
You're good. We have Monday Night Football on KFK tonight, both games. So if you can't get home in time, because the first one starts at 4, Tampa Bay and Houston. Who you like there? I like Tampa Bay to win.
I also want Tampa Bay to win.
That's not a pick, though. That does not count. I desperately. Picks are in a tough spot right now, Michael. 8-6. We were 6-3 going into the weekend. started off 2-0, red hot. And then Wyoming got backdoored, and Air Force said, I don't want to play defense. That would be fun to not play defense, is what they said. So, and then, of course, the Broncos. That was a 2.5-point spread.
Maybe they should go to NORAD and say, hey, NORAD, can you help us with our defense?
Maybe. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. What did we learn? Did we learn anything? Maybe not. But we'll find out together. We'll be right back.
You want Broncos games and coverage? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what?
All right, what do we learn on this 15th day of September? It's bad. It's bad for the Buffs. It's bad for the Broncos, Mike. And Sean Payton, we learned that. It was Sean Payton's doing, apparently, to go for the field goal block on a 60-yard field goal against a kicker that's never made a 50-yarder. We learned that the Bears might be, they might be all right. I'm excited to see what they can do this weekend. Go get a win. Be the most wins in the Ed Lamb era for the UNC Bears.
Let's go. I learned that I think UNC is going to win 6 games. I think they've
learned
got
that from yourself.
6, if not more.
I learned that you only had 2 today. Not bad.
Two what?
Two you-know-whats. Your little pun thing that you do. I think you only
had 2.
You
did not appreciate the second one.
No, I don't appreciate any of them.
The second one is classic.
I didn't appreciate the first one. I didn't appreciate the second one. But you only had 2. Over-under was 4.5. Not bad. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.